Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media.
You're listening to the Social Media Church Podcast, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 109. And my name is DJ Chuang. Thank you for listening to this very, very special episode, and you'll hear just why in a minute. From the number, you can tell that we have been podcasting for 108 episodes over the past 2+ years. And over the time, I've had some great conversations with church leaders around the country here in the United States, as well as Canada and England. And I haven't reached the other 200 countries around the world, but perhaps in due time, we will do just that. And what's been amazing is you, the listeners. We exceeded over 40,000 downloads. Yes, 40,000 downloads as of last week. So the conversations have gone far and wide, both with loyal listeners, a few that I have heard listen to almost every episode, and many who come and go and check out the conversations that are most pertinent and relevant to them. And everyone is a valuable conversation because these are the seedbeds of ideas and stories of how social media makes a difference in our lives as the Church Capital C and in the lives of real people everywhere in our community. And what's amazing is with social media, what happens online doesn't just stay online, but has real life implications offline and impacts people in real life and face-to-face in the community that is perhaps not as connected to the online world. And that's where impact really comes to fruition. But the starting point is here. The ideas in the stories, the behind the scenes of what happens in the doing of social media that affects lives. And one of the things that's happening in my real life is my family. I've been married 20 years this year, and we have a son who is turning 18. He's a senior in high school. And if you go back to episode 107, you can hear my conversation with my son, Jeremiah. Well, he is going to college this fall. He has very good grades, and he has aspirations to be a teacher of some kind, and a degree will assist him in being an accomplished teacher of probably mathematics or some of the STEM topics. STEM has gotten a lot of buzz in these times and age. STEM standing for science, technology, engineering, and math. And this being the last few months that I have with my son, I want to carve out as much time to share life with him. And this podcast has been a joy, a labor of love, an offering to the church at large. $0 innovation is how I've described it. But for this last season, I would like to take a sabbatical. And in due time, God has provided an opportunity for me to just do that. Take a sabbatical from this podcast, but that does not mean the conversation will pause or stop here at the Social Media Church. They will actually continue and at a brisk pace throughout the rest of 2015. And the online conversation that I had with my good friend, who's become a good friend through online as well as offline and in-person face-to-face conversations, is someone that you may be familiar with if you are a longtime listener of the Social Media Church. And if you're new, I'll be happy to introduce him. And his name, the new host for Social Media Church, will be the first social media pastor that I know of in the world, Pastor Nils Smith. And Nils has been a conversationalist here at the Social Media Church, one of the very first ones on episode number 2, and he's been on Social Media Church twice since then. And from this episode on, you will hear him on every episode through the rest of 2015. We sat down and recorded this episode so that you can hear the handing off of the baton, the Blue Yeti mic from Coast to Coast. And I'll just let the preliminaries begin. Here is our transition. Here's our special announcement. Here's the inaugural conversation introducing our new host to the social media church, Nils Smith. All right, on this very special episode of Social Media Church, I'm joined with Nils Smith, all the way cross country in New York City. And here I am in Orange County wearing orange, as it should be.
Thanks for having me.
How are you doing, Nils?
I'm doing great. It's fun to be here and good to be connected with you.
Well, this is a virtual handshake and handoff as we have this conversation on this episode. We're going to be turning over the keys for you to take a test drive and be our new guest host here at Social Media Church.
I appreciate it, DJ. It's a big honor. I've been a big fan of yours for many years, and this podcast has taught me so much along the journey over the last 2 years, and really watching you for years before that. But I will say, and I was privileged to be the second guest, but really we won't tell Kenny, but I was the first interview or the first conversation that actually happened on the Social Media Church podcast. But I'll tell you that as I look back over the last 2 years and following, you know, every episode, there was an episode, you know, maybe 6 months ago, when I was in the hospital, that you prayed for me and lifted me up, during the podcast. And I remember listening to that when I just gotten home from the hospital and hearing that and the encouragement that it gave me, just meant so much and to be a part of this community. And now, to get to kind of lead this community and kind of take the baton from, where you've brought it, for 2 years. So I really appreciate it, DJ.
Well, thank you so much, Nils. And perhaps we'll get into a bit of the backstory of how we put this transition together so that the conversations can continue here at Social Media Church. And of course, I'll maybe jump in from time to time, be a guest host, and we'll keep things going as long as we can as God provides for us.
Absolutely.
So we'll hand over the mic to you. Since most people are more comfortable with the interview format, we'll do it that way. But in this episode, we'll actually turn the chairs around. And
well, as you're always asking the questions, DJ, I'm excited to turn that on you and now ask you some questions and really learn from you of the journey you've been on and the things you've learned. And now we're in episode 109. So congratulations on 108 episodes under your belt. Tell me, what led to creating the Social Media Church podcast? Where did it all come from?
Well, I've been following podcasts since it was invented way back by the God Podfather, Adam Curry. And he was the one that actually encoded the XML packets. That's a little bit geek speak, but there's actually a technical layer that makes audio and video podcasts subscribable so that they automatically downloaded onto the iPad. And now we have iPhones and we have tablets and we have all these other devices. So way back almost 10 years ago, I guess, when podcast was first invented, it was intended to be a subscribable media that was downloadable and portable. And it's evolved over the years, but still a bit clunky. And why I wanted to get into podcasting was to create a place where we could have conversations among church leaders about social media, because there wasn't a place. And the few places that there were online was people sharing 10 tips to use Instagram or 10 tips to do Facebook. But I don't need tips. I want to find real life examples. And I realized, being church leaders, we're all busy all the time, and there's always more to do than we can possibly do. But wouldn't it be valuable, I was thinking, well, it'd be valuable for me, and if it's valuable to me, maybe it'd be valuable to others.
And over the years, it's been confirmed that it has been valuable. And I also wanted to find a way to create content as efficiently as possible. As a blogger, and I've been blogging even longer than just doing podcasting. Let's see. I started blogging in 1999. So that's 15 years before it's called blogging. And I tend to be that early adopter. I love to experiment and try new things, but I got to find other ways to pay the bill. So I created the social media podcast to find a faster way to create content and not to have to create content by myself. One of the things I realized in blogging, it takes me a good hour plus to write a blog post because I put a lot of link and I put a lot of research behind my blog posts. I'm not just talking off the top of my head. And I thought, well, if I have a conversation with Nils for half an hour, it only took me half an hour to create some pretty good content. Now, yes, there's post-production, and let's say you multiply it by 2 or 3, hour and a half, I've produced more content that's got more dimension to it, because when you just write a blog, it's just text. But when you have a conversation, you've got text and you've got tone of voice. And then if you've got the video format, then you've even got body language. So more of the communication comes through to people remotely by podcasting. And so I wanted to try the new technologies that were available and put them together in a way where I could produce content quickly. And then I'll have to look up the number for the podcast where I describe some of the madness behind why I did what I did with Social Media Church. And that was to innovate with no budget. So often in the church world, we talk about how we can't do something because we don't have budget. Well, let's take money out of the equation and see what we could do. So I've been doing this podcast on no budget, $0, no money on the line, a few donations out of my pocket. But essentially, I don't need a budget to make impact. And I want to have a real life example and be able to tell about it and show people that, man, you can produce good impact, good content, good value without being held up by, oh, quote unquote, I don't have budget or money.
Yeah. And are you willing to share any of the numbers or impact and maybe even a story that you've heard that have come out of the last two and a half years of hosting this podcast?
Let's see. There are bunches of stories behind the scenes. It hasn't surfaced and flourished the way I dreamed it potentially could, where there's all kinds of chatter, where the conversations overflow out of the podcast and onto all the different social media streams. I guess it just doesn't quite work that way among church leaders. And there's certain ways that each tribe or each group of people communicate with each other.
Right.
And so, for example, at Disneyland, the fans that love going to Disneyland and have season passes and trade insider stories about things that happen there, they love discussion boards. And they have podcasts too, and they have blogs, but discussion boards, that's a relic from the past, right? they love using discussion boards to share their learnings. They don't use Twitter and Facebook as much. So among church leaders, apparently the conversations tend to be more in person on conferences, or I set up phone calls that are offline, which makes it a little harder to show those stories and have them take on a life of its own. But once in a while, about once every other episode, I'll get an email or a message through Facebook saying how valuable Social Media Church has been for them as they start getting into social media, or they're a new communication director, or they're starting an online campus. And this is just a bank of knowledge and information that's useful, because it gets behind the backstory of how people put their strategies together, or how they measure their impact, or creative ideas that they can take, borrow, and adapt that goes beyond just a list of ideas, or that just goes beyond here's the template that you have to fill out, because all of us experience writer's block. Right. So that's been real satisfying, that people just really write and express their sincere thanks.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you, I've had a number of people each episode that I was on tell me that they had listened and, you know, learned something, you know, in that conversation. And so I know people are listening, and I, and you know, another interaction I had that came from the Social Media Church podcast is I was flying to through Chicago to go visit with the folks at Granger, and I was thinking on the way there, I heard Josh Burns on your podcast, mm-hmm. Previously, and he's in Chicago. Let me tweet him. And I was literally on my layover on my way to Chicago, and I tweeted him, "Hey, I'm going to be in Chicago in about 3 hours. If you happen to be available, to get together." Tweeted me back. I met him there. Went right off the plane to the park church, and we hung out for about an hour and a half. And our conversation mostly was around, "I heard you talk about this on the podcast. I heard you talk about this," and it was fun, to make that digital relationship become physical. And even at the iMinistry conference every year, so many conversations that come, out of the Social Media Church podcast. Is there a favorite episode or favorite, moment for you or highlight over the last 2.5 years?
Yeah, that's so unfair. I mean, you have 2 kids. I mean, which one's your favorite kid?
my youngest is my favorite.
Well, I just have one. No, there are certainly ones that are more engaging for me, especially the ones that look forward to the potential of social media and people are trying new things. So I think of, yourself, you've been a pioneer in the social media church space. And so when I hear of the new things that you're thinking about, it really excites me that, hey, there's so much more potential to how churches could be using social media, and you're exploring on the edge because you're there on the front lines. I don't actually work on church staff myself, so I don't get to experiment in the context of a local church. So those tend to be the most exciting for me. So yourself, Jason Morris, Vince Murat, I find to be on the creative edge. Shemichael Hallman, Josh Burns is a great practitioner, and he just launched a social church academy last month, which is really awesome. And actually, that I think has a lot more value for the people to participate, because I think what he's done is provided a regular place for professionals to connect in a safe environment, so that they can let their hair down and talk shop with peers that are also working church leaders. Whereas here at Social Media Church Podcast, it's more of an open format, and it's more Wikipedia, it's more open source. That's a very different culture than most churches, the open source culture. Yeah. And I think part of the madness, and you alluded to this, is I'm glad I do hear that the guests I have on at Social Media Church do get good feedback about their conversations. As a host, I don't hear as much of that. and part of the madness was for me to make more of those connections, because I think those connections need to be made. And I think it's one of the values that God's gifted me with. I have a lot of favor with church leaders and all kinds of people across the spectrum, and love making those connections. And a podcast allows me to make a virtual introduction to a lot of people for a lot of people without me having to write an email or get in the middle of it. That's awesome.
But that's a great position you've kind of had, how you communicated that. Well, let's pull away from social media a little bit. Let's talk podcasting. What did you learn about podcasting? And you're always tinkering and playing, and especially doing it on as a free tool, so not really paying money to do this. What did you learn along the way?
Podcasting is still maturing. I guess for me personally, let me start there and then give you some of my observations. So for me personally, it's just learning the mechanics of how to develop a workflow so that I could record the podcast, post-produce the podcast, and then upload the podcast. So there's quite a bit of mechanics to learn how to put all those pieces together. And then I wanted to do things just more of a minimalistic and clean so that it looked good in terms of different platforms and accessible, so that the podcast is available on iPad or iPod, on Android, on web, on Stitcher, and as many podcast channels or platforms I could find. And so part of the learning was just to create that workflow so that I could figure out the routine that I follow each week. Second thing was just to see how podcasts were being done by secular world as well as the church world. And what I found is, well, in the church world, it's mostly sermons. It's syndications of sermons. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but, I mean, don't we have more than that? And so I started compiling a list of Christian podcasts on socialmedia.church, where there's a list of Christian podcasts directory that were not sermons.
Yeah.
And so since I started in 2013, that number has grown from, I don't know, 20 or 30 some active podcasts into well over 100 Christian podcasts that are having conversations about various topics, whether that's culture or pastoring or leadership or just for fun or even gaming. And so it's nice to see other conversations starting up. And as we speak, there's a guy that's starting up a digital ministry school. So there's training that's being provided on podcasting. And what I've loved about podcasting is it's the only media that you can consume without using your eyes. Yeah, and I have trifocal progressives, so I'm very sensitive to my old age and just how much I have to use my eyes for everything I do on social media and for work and for email and for reading. And it's nice to just get to close my eyes but still have some information that are flowing because my mind likes to feed on ideas and be part of conversations.
Yeah.
Last thing I'll say about podcasting is even though we've got all kinds of other technologies that have matured and are running much better in terms of efficiency and availability, podcasting is still very clunky on several levels. One, people misuse the word podcasting because it's a fluid term. It's very elastic, but people mean different things by it. So sometimes people will just upload a video onto a web page or upload audio onto a web page or just use the WordPress add media button and drop in an audio and call that a podcast. And I think that doesn't fairly represent what a podcast should be, which is something that has a RSS feed or iTunes feed that people can subscribe to and get automatic downloads of new episodes. I think that's what podcasting should be, that you should be able to subscribe to it and get new episodes. Sometimes people use the word podcasting as just a series of audios or a collection of audios or videos from a conference and call that a podcast, but that's static. So I think that should be called something else. And podcasting should be reserved for this subscribable means of getting content. And then the other big hurdle from podcasting getting mainstream adoption, I'll give credit to Apple for this, that they created a podcast app. So that raised its profile and that accelerated its adoption. And smartphones. Smartphones was another factor that really accelerated. And that happened during the 2 years that Social Media Church was coming online. So some historical things have happened since. Because of smartphones, then we can take our podcasts with us without having to sync up. Because it used to be you had to sync up your iPod with your iTunes on the desktop, and it was just clunky. Now it's just automatic. But still hard. It's still not mainstream because there's not one place where you can find all the podcasts. Not all the podcasts are in the iTunes store. And if you are like me, iTunes is not the best thing to use to find things. Yeah, it's clunky and it's very limited. You can't get stats off of there. And the ones that succeed, you know, the top ones get a lot of attention, but the rest of us, you're just lost in cyberspace. And then as I looked at other podcasts, is people don't have a consistent way of making their podcast subscribable. It's like, hey, they got a landing page for their podcast, but I can't find a subscribe button.
Yeah.
And I'm not on iTunes, I'm on Android, and I can't figure out how to get subscribed. And so those are some of the things that are still being worked on in the tech world to make it easier for people to subscribe. But we've made some strides in the past 2 years with the podcasting app and with smartphones.
And I think that speaks to you being, you know, what you mentioned earlier is that you're an early adopter. And that kind of speaks to you kind of being on that front end of you've seen it develop over the last couple of years, but it still has a long ways to go. Now I think, and I shared with you a lot of how you and I started having a conversation about this is when I moved to New York and I started getting on the subway, I lost internet signal on the subway and I got the shakes. You know, I was like, what am I supposed to do without the internet? And so the natural response is read a book. Well, I've got 200 people, you know, standing in a 10 by 10 area. I don't have room to even pull my arms out to read a book. And so a podcast, and I'm not a music listener. I like to learn, you know, I'd be doing something productive. Yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with music. It's just not my preference, how to use my time. So podcast became, and I had always listened to this podcast and I'd listened to Andy Stanley's leadership podcast. But those were my two, you know, and maybe, you know, when I'd go for a walk or something, I'd listen to a podcast, but now I had additional time to podcast and I started just paying a little more attention to it. And even beginning to see the trends of, you know, I think Apple is going to move towards the dashboard of a car and you're going to see more availability to be able to listen to these in the car. And as the mobile devices have changed, so have the podcast and the opportunities there. So I think things like the analytics are going to, you know, Twitter just kind of came out with their analytics in a more developed way. And so analytics are naturally the next step with so much new technology. So I think it will come, but we'll see, you know, we'll see what the next 2 years holds. But it you're right. It's still a front end technology, that has a long way to go when it comes to development, but the adoption rate seems to be higher than ever as well.
Yeah. Even my son, 17-year-old son, listens to podcasts and a lot of his peers listen to podcasts.
So interesting.
Well, if they're listening to it, it's very much, next generation has adopted it as a means of consuming content on the go.
Yeah. Well, I think the exciting part is just like social media is anyone can now create content and distribute it. And that doesn't mean anyone's going to listen to it, but we all have that opportunity where historically in radio, not all of us had a studio and a satellite and everything we needed to run a radio broadcast. But the truth is if you have an Apple laptop or even you can probably get creative, record it on your phone and upload it to your phone somehow. So the barrier to entry is lower than ever, and the opportunity for engagement on the other end, not just recording but distributing, is easier than ever. So it's an exciting day.
Yeah, you mentioned a smartphone. There's actually a smartphone app now called Spreaker Studio. So it's actually designed for you to record the podcast and have a little bit of post-production right there on your smartphone and have it automatically posted to the cloud.
Nice. So it's just like Splice for video, except for, yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with Splice, by the way? It's the best video editing tool for your iPhone. So you can record it. You can edit it right there. It's similar to iMovie, but it has a little more extra features, and then upload it right to Vimeo or to YouTube right there. Super.
See, there's still this digital divide between iOS and Android.
Yeah. Yeah. The other learning, I, you know, there are a couple of things you said about your learning process is that I think church leaders can learn is the mechanics of learning a workflow. That's one of the big barriers when it comes to social media, I believe, for churches is understanding how to establish a workflow that doesn't consume all of your time, but has a, you know, has a healthy workflow to it, minimalistic and clean, and then accessible on all devices. So I'm an Apple user, and so I think iTunes, and that's it. And so in my mind, I just kind of naturally just, I don't really care how Android people figure it out. As long as it's on iTunes, I'm happy. But being able to think distribution to all channels, and that is important.
Well, here's the general number. I mean, here's the general number to think outside of the iOS world is, on average, you're looking at 30% additional audience when you go outside the iOS world.
Right. So it's big and growing, it seems.
And it's not that much extra work. It's just an extra click here or there and you're good to go.
Right. Let's keep going. Let's shift to social media a little bit. How have you seen social media change in the last 2 years since the podcast started?
I feel like social media has slowed down in its acceleration of development, but it's become more refined. So Twitter and Facebook are still the two big channels that capture most of the traffic and engagement. And then there's little niche things like Snapchat. And there's one that I was playing with called Yik Yak for a little bit. It's real popular with some of the college crowd.
Okay.
It's geographic-based chat rooms that's anonymous.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So there's some experimental little pockets here and there.
Yeah.
And what I see in the church world engaging with social media is it's becoming more professionalized, which is good. It helps churches get more engaged with it. I think churches could do a lot more in terms of the organic side of social media.
Yeah,
that's harder to control. And so that's a bit scary for most churches. And you have to be good stewards with your resources. So on the organic side, there's still a lot of potential, but I am delighted that more churches and more Christians are coming into this podcasting world and having conversations rather than just sermons that are one-sided. Boy, what else have I seen in social media? My general feeling is it's just slowed down. Given the pace of how fast it was going for years and years, it's slowed down over the past 2 years, it feels like.
And by slow down, do you mean the adoption rate has slowed down or just the new developments around social media have slowed down?
The new developments around social media has slowed down.
Okay.
But I like a fast pace. So
yeah.
I think adoption is still steady. It's still growing, although it may have slowed down a little bit, but I was more referring to the development of new features and the active use of it. Yeah.
So what about Instagram?
How about you? What have you noticed in social media?
You know, probably the visualization of social media of 2 years ago, it was so text-based. You had Twitter and Facebook, and most Facebook updates were all just text-based updates, where now it's either video, you know, probably at least 50% video or graphics, and even Twitter is becoming very visual the flow of content streaming through. So that's I've seen the way people are using it change, but the actual technology and Facebook has grown. You know, Twitter felt like it was the same for about 5 years, and more recently is really developing in some new ways. But the adoption of Instagram kind of came out of nowhere and has exploded and not stopped. And so that's been interesting to watch. Yeah, and I think that's part of visualization.
Well, yeah, and that's very much enabled by the smartphone.
Exactly.
And what's crazy and interesting is, because I have the advantage of age, I suppose, the perspective of age. So Instagram and Twitter launched their video portion of it. Instagram, you can drop in videos up to 15 seconds now.
Right.
On Twitter, they have an app called Vine where you can do six second video loops.
Right.
Well, 5 years before that, there was a website called 12 Seconds where you could do webcam videos on the web with 12 second duration.
Yeah.
But that one went dark as mobile was coming online. And it was just like, man, that was already there. If they could have pivoted and just held on a bit longer and created mobile, they would have dominated space because they were already there.
Yeah.
But
so, you know, some of it's timing, some of it's being the right place at the right time, some of it's funding. You know, it's an interesting world, and actually there's adoption. I think Google+ is honestly a pretty cool social network, but it seemed like it was late to the game. It was always a little quirky, and people, from my perspective, people aren't there. People always argue that this is number three social network in the world. I struggle to buy that. Just from my experiences on there personally, Gary Vaynerchuk is actually predicting that Google will shut down Google+ this year. So that would be an interesting turn of events. So there's some things that are way better, I would say, than Facebook. But because they've got the adoption rate that they do, they kind of own the game. And so it's hard to kind of break into that world.
Yeah, that's one of the subtexts for what I do at socialmedia.church is I see social media as being more about people and not technology.
Hmm.
And so that's why every episode I'm featuring the person I'm talking to and not so much the church or what they're doing.
Yeah.
So, and I'll have all kinds of people because I think everybody's story is worthwhile because, well, Jesus died for them. And there's a podcast that is fascinating. You should check out called StoryCorps.
How do you spell that?
O-R-P-S, StoryCorps. And it's the only podcast that I know of that's archived in the Library of Congress.
Wow.
So it's such a significant podcast. It's archived in the Library of Congress. And what the premise of the show is, they have two people who may have a long-term relationship, whether it's family members or long-term friend. They put them in a booth and ask each other the questions they've always wanted to ask but was afraid to.
Yeah.
And they record the raw conversation for 5 or 10 minutes. And StoryCorps just, you know, shares these, and they've gotten over 30,000 episodes now, and it's archived in the Library of Congress. And I'm thinking to myself, man, we're in the church, we're in community, and we're supposed to have the most compelling story of life change and of the meaning of life. We're not capturing those stories and delivering them in such a compelling way.
Well, and I think, though, that's where I hope, you know, as you have taken the lead using this means, you're seeing it more and more on social media. You're seeing it on YouTube, where people are posting some great stories on that platform. And I think podcasts give us a really good opportunity as well to just tell stories. And so it's we'll put that in the show notes, and we will, you know, share that with others, and then hopefully encourage, you know, if there's some leaders that want to take you up on that, and let's start telling more stories.
Yeah, let's see that idea. So let me unpack it a little bit more. So another popular podcast that just came out of nowhere and got a million downloads is called Serial. And it was a 12 episode of a long-term story of a old news item that was a murder, and they were trying to figure out, well, did the guy actually do it? Did the right guy, did they get the right guy, and so on.
Yeah.
And with a very fast startup, and people were just intrigued by the story. And it's good that churches are beginning to share stories, which used to be called testimonies, on their websites.
Right.
But in text form, it's still very limited in terms of how that story engages the reader or listener. And I think the same story, if it was told audibly, it's more portable, and you get the tone of voice. And there's something about that dramatization that can be that much more valuable. And it's not that much more to produce. Actually, easier to produce in some ways, to produce an audio podcast than to actually polish up text.
Yeah.
In blog format or article format.
Right.
So that's how I see that, the contrast to that, and the opportunity for churches to present stories in a compelling way. Because you have hundreds and thousands of people, some churches, where everybody's got a story.
Absolutely. And I just started listening to one today called Startup, which seems to be kind of a similar of a guy telling his story. But I'm only on episode one, so I'll post it in the show notes. But I don't know where it leads, so I'll be interested to see. But there's a great opportunity here. Well, let's talk about churches. What have you seen when it comes to churches over the last couple of years, and the adoption of social media, how they're using it, what excites you, what disappoints you, what patterns have you seen?
Yeah, we'll kind of touch on that in terms of the professional tools that help church leaders streamline their workflow and to do things effectively in terms of getting focused on their message, clarity, developing their workflow and strategy, and putting the metrics in place so that they are doing things that are effective and efficient and being good stewards.
Yeah.
And then seeing more churches and Christians getting to the podcast space is just starting to happen.
Yeah.
Online churches and live streaming, that's continuing. I'm not able to keep as close an eye on what's developing there, but it seems like it's continuing and continuing to have impact. The curious one I'd like to get more learning about, perhaps you could drop him a line, Jay Cranda, the online campus pastor at Saddleback Church.
Yep.
They recently launched on-demand services instead of a service on the hour every hour. So they turned the switch from going sim live and live experiences to live and on demand. Be curious to hear how that's developed. And they also launched Spanish and a Korean online campus. And so be curious to see.
Saddleback launched a Spanish and Korean online.
Yes.
Very cool.
Yes. So I don't know if Jay's up Korean and Spanish on his spare time, or if they're doing subtitles or what they're doing. But
yeah, we'll have Jay on the show and ask him.
There you go. So that's a new development that I'm curious about. And then what else? Yeah, so those are the few that come to mind.
What do you hope? What do you hope to see?
There is one. There is one that's revolutionary.
Okay. Yeah,
and they're not ready to release yet, but they're about to release. So the other guy you'll want to talk to is Sean Ring. He's the pastor of spiritual technology at Gateway Church in Southlake, Texas. And that church has provided the resources and a platform to develop the next version of the Table Project, and now it's called Table. And it is a mobile app that increases community and content engagement for a local church context. And in its first couple months of early beta in-house, and this is a large church, 30,000 plus right. Weekend, but over the course of the first month, they got well over 10 or 15,000 downloads and installs of the app and using it in-house. And one of the greatest, most powerful features is you can share a prayer request. And because it's your community, people that know you are you're 2 or 3 degrees removed, but you're in community with the church, people can pray for it in real time. And then you give feedback in real time that, hey, 5 people just prayed for you in the past minute.
Yeah.
And that's been such a powerful instant feedback. And it gives the pastors an opportunity to see, hey, what's trending and what's happening in our congregation that we can be paying attention to and ministering to. So that could be a very revolutionary app in the church world that
very
can
cool.
really accelerate.
Yeah. Ministry. And have you heard about the app called InstaPray?
Yeah, I've played around for a little bit. I don't know too much about it, but there's a dozen different prayer apps that are kind of fun out there.
Okay. Interesting. I saw it, you know, it's interesting, the kind of a similar concept where people can pray live. I actually got to talk to the founder of it not too long ago, and he was saying they were inspired by the movie Bruce Almighty many years ago. And remember when the prayers were coming in, he couldn't respond to them all. And that's where the inspiration came from. So an interesting story there I think prayer and social media are naturally go hand in hand and need to see how the table, and we'll definitely get Sean on and hear.
I think the difference in how they're doing it versus some of the other prayer apps is prayer isn't too much of an open source kind of thing.
Right.
I mean, there's a few that you might go open source with, but there's something intimate about it. And to have it shared in your church community in an engaging way, real time, mobile access, I think that's why this one is going to have a lot more sustainability engagement than some of the other ones.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you could, and I'll go ahead and make this the last question for you. What's ahead for you? You're always tinkering and always looking for new things, new opportunities and ways to use technology for ministry. What are you looking ahead to?
Well, as I ramp down my time in doing social media church on a regular basis, it'll free me up to spend more time with my son, who is now a senior in high school. So this is the last 6 months that I have with him.
Yeah.
And I want to demonstrate to him that he's still very much a priority in my life. And so the time I borrow from here, I'll definitely give to him. And then during my day job, our team is on the brink of launching the .Bible top level domain. So that will be happening this summer. And there will be .Bible domain names on the internet proclaiming the value and meaning of the Bible as a domain name. And we hope to see innovation and more Bible engagement come out of that. So finally seeing the light at the end of the tunnel and the starting line that will usher in the next generation of internet engagement. And my hope is that with these, there's over 500 new top-level domains as we speak that have launched on the internet, things like .club, .guru, .google, .hotel is coming, .church is already out, and there's over 8,000 of those registered right now. And over time, I think we'll be more accustomed to shorter domain names instead of always defaulting to .com, but we're going to think about meaningful names before and after the .com. I think we'll see less and less use of the slash. So you won't see all those long URLs with cryptic names. And potentially with the brands, they can do some innovative things where domain names actually could become functional, like commands.
Yeah.
So you could say logon.google or logoff.google, you know, things like that.
Interesting.
The future is very interesting on the internet, and I'm very grateful to be a part of it and to have that pay the bills.
Yeah, very good. Well, thank you so much for being our guest on this episode. Thanks for the work you've done with Social Media Church and in the kingdom, and the things you've taught me personally, and the ways that you're leading in so many different areas. Can you share, how can people stay connected with you online?
I'll definitely stay online at djchuang.com. That's my personal website. And then I'm on Twitter and Facebook and everything else. Yeah. DJ Chuang. It's spelled DJ as in disc jockey, CHU as in chunky, ANG as in angel.
There you go. You can't forget that. We'll obviously have that in the show notes, and I look forward to having you back on the show soon. Thanks for being with us, DJ.
Thank you, Nils, for taking on the next season of Social Media Church. Very grateful for your partnership and friendship.
Well, what a privilege it is for me to take the baton forward from DJ, and I look forward to the journey ahead with you and the conversations that will happen both online and here on the podcast. I hope you'll be a part moving forward, and you'll be a part of the conversation. And I would love to hear who you want us to interview and what ideas you have for the future of the podcast. And in our next episode, we actually have an exciting next announcement about what will be happening as we move forward here in 2015. I would love to connect with you online on Twitter. My handle is at Nils Smith, and you can stay connected here with the podcast by going to socialmedia.church. Look forward to the next episode and continuing the journey with you online.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. Stop by socialmedia.church for the show notes and to learn more about Social Media Church. Please share this podcast with a friend and leave a review on iTunes or wherever you may be listening.